With the transfer window closing soon, we're going to dive into some of the transfers that have already happened, the impact that they can make, Champions League being around the corner as well. We'll talk a little bit about that, and we'll talk about the Premier League. Stick around. Welcome back, everybody, to the Culture Punch podcast. As always, I'm Wall Street. I got a special guest in the building. You guys have met him once, Buddy Lindsay. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on?
So we're back. We're back for another discussion with the with Soccer Talks. There's a couple topics that you guys heard at the intro. We're going to talk about transfers that have happened, what's real, what's not, what's still rumored, what may happen. We'll talk about the matchups that are coming up with the Champions League. And we'll also get into Premier League because Premier League has been really interesting, especially the last couple of weeks. But I wanted to, because I haven't really talked about this, so I wanted to just kick off and send our love and prayers to the Emiliano Rose Sala Tafarel. That was the guy who, the Argentinian striker who, you know, unfortunately, his plane disappeared while traveling from, what was it, Nantes?
To Cardiff, yeah.
And the Cardiff had just spent $15 million. I think that was the most they spent on a striker, right?
Record transfer for the club, yeah.
So they did that, and, you know, unfortunately, him and the, not only him, but the pilot himself, he also vanished, or, you know, they can't find it. So prayers go out to them. Hope everything turns out. I mean, I hope they find him. I know they said that was pretty slim, but, you know, I hope that's not the case.
Yeah, well, with donations from Mbappe and some other French players, they donated, they raised enough money to go for another search, about 300,000.
Oh, so, did they? Yeah. I didn't know that. So they
see what happens with that.
They gave him money, huh? That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Mbappe donated, I think, 30,000 twice, so 60,000.
That's awesome. Yeah, I didn't hear about that. Mm-hmm. So with that sad note gone, let's talk a little bit about the transfers that you said, right?
Sure, we could do transfers.
So one transfer, I don't know if it's going to make that big of a buzz, is Alvaro Morata joins Atletico.
Yeah, that just broke today, right?
Yeah, 50 minutes ago is what I have right here. So we kind of all speculated he was going there. There was rumors and it was pretty high. He's on an 18-month loan, so they didn't actually purchase him. He's just on a loan, and he's going to be wearing the number 29, I believe. But he really didn't do anything for Chelsea. He wasn't that guy. What do you think? What do you expect him to do for Atletico? Do you think he's going to be actually a dynamic player? Do you think the Spanish, you know, league suits him a little bit better? Or do you think he's going to be what Torres was to them at the end of the season or at the end of his career?
Well, he did pretty good with Juventus, and he helped Juventus knock Real Madrid out of the Champions League. So I thought Italy was kind of the best spot for him. I was kind of hoping he'd go back there, but, you know, with Higuain leaving Milan, I thought maybe there would be something in the works of Milan acquiring Morata, and I thought maybe that would be a perfect fit for him. And he didn't work out too well in Spain already twice, you know. He didn't work out in Madrid originally when they loaned him to Juventus, and he's not, I don't really think he's going to work out at the other side of Madrid as a target man for them.
Well, what do you think the mindset was or the mentality was for acquiring him? Because in my eyes, I don't see what the need would be of needing. Like, do you think what just the number?
They definitely need. Well, because Diego Costa's had some injury issues,
right?
Recently, or at least this season, and he's heavily linked to China. So they're clearly
again?
Missing. Yeah, again. So this is it's another new link to China, and it looks like he might take it. So we'll see. So they're definitely going to need a striker. I just don't know if, you know, Morata is the guy. If he doesn't work out here, he's going to be, you know,
Balotelli'd.
Yeah, he's going to be just in a, you know, mid-table, probably Spanish league team. And I just don't see him as being the next big name striker for Atletico Madrid.
I mean, I agree with you 100% that I felt his best time came in Italy with Juventus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where he really got his opportunity to play. And he did well. Like you said, he helped eliminate Real Madrid. He came up with crucial goals in other games in that Champions League series that got us to the finals. I believe he even scored in the final, right? He got the only goal that we scored in the final. It was 4-1.
To be honest, I don't remember.
I believe. And so he had a good spell. But then there was the rumors that they were going to sell him for something ridiculous. It was like 70 million or something, right? Or 60 million. Once he went back to, that's what Real Madrid was asking Juventus. Right. They said no.
Right.
They sent him back. And then Chelsea ended up spending, I think it was like 55 million.
He was looking good going to Chelsea and something happened there and you just lost his confidence completely. I mean, you just watch the guy up front and you just know that there's no confidence there. I've seen him sky so many open nets. Mm-hmm. That it's crazy. But, you know, he was scoring still about 6 goals every 10 games for Chelsea, which isn't great, but that's all Higuain's doing for Milan before they bought him. Well, so we'll see.
So Higuain, when you said you were thinking there might be something in the works, what was his name? Andre Silva, the Portuguese striker, didn't work out there. Higuain, if any striker was going to make it there, like that was, because they have the same style, I feel. I feel like they're deadliest inside the 18. You know, they're pretty much...
Well, Higuain's actually deadly inside the 18.
Yeah. But if you want to classify him, he moves well inside the 18. That's where he gets the majority of his goals. He's not, you know, taking anyone off the dribble and shooting. So Higuain has that. So if you want to compare him to that, if you were to swap out, you're essentially getting the same striker, except Higuain, like you said, is really actually deadly.
No, I think it's a really good business move by Chelsea, for sure. I definitely think that getting Higuain's a big bonus. And I think he's actually going to probably do pretty good there, because if they've been running a false nine for like 3 weeks now and they've dropped 6 points in 3 weeks. So it's like they need a striker that has confidence. And say what you want about Higuain on the international, or in the international stage for club, he does great. And I think he's going to be fine there.
I don't understand why there's so much negative talk around him, because he produces. In one way or another, he produces. There was I don't remember what it was. There was a graph that was up that was saying the most goals since 2009, I believe it was. And it had only the top four. Obviously, it was like Messi was one, then it was Ronaldo. Then it was, I don't even know, I can name the other guy. But then he was Higuain.
Lewandowski, probably.
Yeah, it was Lewandowski, and then it was Higuain. Now, there was a gap, right? It wasn't like close. Like Messi was at 500, Ronaldo was like at 4, like 531, and Ronaldo was like at 431 or something like that, or 471. Higuain was only at 244, but he was in the top four. Lewandowski was like at 290. So the gap there wasn't that big. The gap to first place was, but it just goes to show you that when you're comparing them to how many goals they're scoring, if they're actually doing their job, he's doing what he's supposed to. You put a playmaker with or next to him and he'll put those opportunities away.
Yeah, I mean, 6 goals in 13 matches for Milan, considering Milan's lack of playmakers, is actually pretty impressive. Right. So I think, like I said, alongside Hazard, and I think Chelsea is going to keep Hazard at least for now, at least through this window, he's gonna be fine. Yeah, I think the Morata move to Atletico Madrid, probably, who knows if that'll work out or not. But yeah, the Higuain transfer to Chelsea is a pretty good bit of business.
Because they still got Griezmann there, right?
Oh yeah.
They're using, what are the strikers they actually have? Because the only ones I knew about was Costa and Griezmann.
Well, I think Romero left.
Correa's on loan to Lazio, right?
Maybe. Is Romero still there? Romero might still be
there. Oh, no, they sold him. Okay. They sold him at the beginning of the summer. I forgot who they sold him to, but yeah, I think it's another Spanish team. So they don't have another. I get that they don't have the other option. And I guess when you look at it, they didn't really spend money. They just took on whatever his wages was.
Yeah, weekly. I mean, you know.
Best thing you can do, I guess, we'll right? See. And Diego, I don't know. I mean, Simeone, he's pretty good at turning, you know, I guess, ashes into
fire. He's good at motivating. Right? I mean, Diego Costa's a beast, and he's got that snarling attitude. You're going from a fighter like that to kind of a guy that gets dejected every time he misses a goal and just like puts his head down. It's just the wrong attitude. We'll see. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if Simone's going to be hard on him. I don't know if he'll even be receptive to that.
Costa's one of those guys, though, I think is toxic for your locker room, because he's happy when things, I guess he's got that attention positive, and then a little bit in the organization, maybe they don't focus enough on him. I feel like he's kind of prima donna. I don't know what goes on in the background. I just see what happens to anywhere he goes.
I don't know about locker. I mean, it seems like at least when he won titles with Chelsea, he got along great with the teammates. It's his problem maybe with the coach or his on field. I think what we see is one thing, but it seems like he gets along with his teammates. I mean, he always wants to win, and everyone wants someone on their team that wants to win.
Right. What I mean by locker room, I agree with you. I think that he's had more with his managers than he has with the players.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine if you're unhappy, you're going back in the locker room with your friends, you're just sitting there complaining. So you're almost bringing
we get a bit of that, huh?
Yeah, exactly. You're bringing the prestige down of the club, or you have just this one guy. And for others, like the young guys that are coming out of the academy or the guys that really don't play that often, they come in and they're like, okay, well, if the star is not happy, you know, something must be going on, or, you know, maybe it's not all roses like we think it is, because obviously they're not getting that much focus because they're new to the team. They don't get a lot of minutes.
Right.
And you have, here's your star striker that's not happy about whatever, and you're bringing that out into the locker room. Now, that's what I mean. I mean, I'm sure he gets along with all his guys and everything like that, but.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've always been kind of a Costa fan. I know a lot of people like to hate on him. But.
I think he's a good player. I'm not saying he's not. For me, if I was going to take the risk, if it's a buy, I don't think I buy into that. I think I look for other options. Now, if you give me the option between Costa and I'm trying to think of who might be. No, obviously I'm going to go with Costa on that. But who would you say he's comparable to right now?
Right now? I mean, I think he...
Like production-wise.
Well, he's been injured for like 3 months. So
well, we're saying when he's on the field, based on his play when he's on the field.
When he's on the play, I mean, he's just a classic number nine, you know, like Lewandowski, like, well.
Like if you can buy Lewandowski or Costa for the same price.
Oh, well, yeah, you get Lewandowski, of course. Yeah. But, I mean, they didn't buy him for that much. No. I mean, I guess he's more equivalent to maybe like a Falcao. And basically classic Atletico Madrid strikers. They all kind of seem, you know, he's just a, I don't know. I saw a goal that he scored against Madrid and he just sat down Pepe, like put him on the ground, and scored past him.
Yeah.
Like literally pushed him onto the ground, like not quite fouled him, but like bullied his way. Yeah. Like you don't get a lot of those big bullying number nines anymore, which I miss.
You know what? That's, yeah. I used to really like
Ibrahimovic, I think, was a good
Anelka.
Comparison.
Remember Anelka? I really liked him because he was very physical down around the 18. Yeah. And especially in his older years, because he had to be lost maybe. Speed. But I used to really like Anelka.
Or Berbatov or something like that.
So that's when he was deadly for Manchester. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're right. You don't get those classic number nines anymore. I think the closest classic number nine you get that actually produces is like Lewandowski. You know, Costa, excluding Costa. I'm not right. Right. But like for a while there, I thought Balotelli was going to turn that mold when he was like around the 2012 Euros and all that, you know, because he seemed to be that for Italy, but he couldn't produce when it came to club. He bounced around to Man City, to Milan, to
Liverpool,
Liverpool and then back to Milan. And then he scored in his debut. He's with Marcel. He got transferred to Marcel. That's another transfer.
Yeah. Someone mentioned
that. And he scored
that.
On his
right.
debut. He actually had an opportunity right outside.
Just talking to someone about that. Yeah, I didn't know that he had moved from Nice to Marseille, and I guess he scored on his debut. That's pretty good.
He better seemed happy, but whenever the Patrick Vieira got the management role, something happened that he just completely turned off.
Hmm.
To Nice, he was.
It's
like,
got to be better than who's that Greek guy they had there, Mitroglou.
Yeah, no, I agree. And he was I felt like he revived his career. He got back into the Italian national team. Blamed for that team. I mean, they needed that. Didn't they have Dante and they resurrected his career too? And
at Nice? Yeah, they had Dante there. I think they still have Dante.
Yeah, they had another guy that did really well.
Sarri, Jean-Michel Sarri.
No, who was the midfield French player that went to PSG and they sold him last year? He played for Newcastle and then he went to a PSG. Didn't do good. He sold him there. Man, I can't think of his name. So they do a good job of resurrecting careers. I feel like that's what their job there is. As far as Hudson, how do you say his last name? Hudson Obey, the striker for Chelsea, the young striker, the teenager.
I don't know. Obai.
So Chelsea rejected the transfer that Bayern has put in four transfers.
You're talking about the youth kit?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So that's not happening.
Yeah. No. They denied it. And he's requested to be traded, to be on the transfer list. And they said that they're not going to transfer him.
And this is at Chelsea?
Yeah.
I was thinking of the Manchester City kid.
Yeah, he just scored. Did you see the touch that he had when he scored? He got
was
a ball
it in
that,
the cup? The
yeah,
English
yeah,
Cup?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
He got a ball that came into the 18. I want to say he brought it down with his thigh and then back-heeled it to his left side and then struck it in.
Oh.
So it was nasty. It was all just very fluid, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, who was the first one there to greet him was Higuain.
Oh, well, that's cool.
I think that's where it's going to be beneficial. If anything, if you take anything away, I think Higuain makes people better.
Yeah.
Look what he did for Napoli.
Yeah, he was a beast in Napoli.
Right.
No doubt.
So, and he's back with Saudi. So that was the guy that he had, 34, 35 goals that season or whatever it was.
Yeah, it's good to be back with Saudi. Saudi needs to figure something out, man. I mean, we'll get that into that in the Premier League
Well, I was looking. They're doing very well. Their differential's not good, but they're not scoring goals. They're holding opposing teams. They're not allowing a lot of goals.
They're playing their two best players out of position.
Who's that?
They're playing Hazard out of position in a false nine, and they're playing what's the midfielder, the French guy?
Kante
on the wing.
No, they're not.
Yeah, on the right side.
No way. Yeah, that is so out of position. He controls the middle, slows down the counterattack.
Yeah, it's when you're playing your two best players out of position, like, no wonder you guys are losing and dropping points.
Do you think that they're doing that with Hazard because they're trying to give him whatever he wants to do?
Well, they don't have a striker. Well, until they buy Higuain.
Yeah.
They just, Sarri just does not trust Morata that much, that heavily.
Would you?
They just don't even start a striker. Not only that, when they played against, who was it? Arsenal? Yeah. When they lost to Arsenal, they didn't even have a striker on the bench.
Wow.
Just Hazard in a false nine position.
No way.
Yeah. And Arsenal ran over him.
Why not go with, Batshuayi?
He's still on loan, isn't he?
So they
Valencia?
What I mean is, no. They loaned him out to a different team. He came back, but they sent him out again.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, I think he went to German League.
Came from Dortmund, went to Valencia. Now he must be somewhere else.
I think he went to Bayer Leverkusen. Anyway, you bring him back. He did good. I thought he did well with Dortmund, didn't you?
He did, but Dortmund
didn't do very well at Valencia. But
any number nine like that could do well in their system. Just look at Paco Alcacer.
He's
horrible for Barca, and then he gets put in a system where you're getting balls fed to you all day from Royce and Sancho and Mario Götze, and any good striker can bury those chances.
Right. So
he is still at Valencia.
Valencia. Okay. So you don't think, since you don't have an option you can trust, given him a chance be a something you go with? Would you have done that? Would you have kept him out alone, or would you say,
no,
hey,
I
would
have taken him back.
Right? That's what I thought. I thought he did enough to show that he's improved enough to play for Chelsea.
Yeah.
I don't think he was given a fair nod when he was at Chelsea. Because they brought him in from what? Was it Lyon? He was a French club. Marcel, Lyon, one of those guys.
I thought he was a Chelsea youth product.
Mm-mm.
Oh. No, I don't know.
And then in his first year, I didn't think they gave him that much of a chance. I think he was with Mourinho, was there. Mourinho brought him in, I think.
So well, we want to go on to some more transfers?
Yeah. I don't know how important this is for everybody else, but Benatia, he officially left on $8 million to a team in Qatar.
Oh, well.
Yeah, so signed to Al Duhail Club in Qatar. What I don't understand is I think Arsenal wanted him for like $32 million. And we sold him for $8 million. That's a big gap. I know you don't want him playing for a rival, but that is a big gap. And he wasn't one of those guys that was like, I need to leave right now. Whoever's willing to pay for me, I'm going to go. Mm. He was like, okay, well, I used to be like a third option behind Bonucci and Barzagli and Chiellini. And now Bonucci came back, and now I'm kind of like a fourth option.
Do we know the wages for that deal? Maybe he's just making way more in wages. Maybe the transfer fee is not that high, but...
Well, I'm saying that's what Juventus is getting for it, because they're not getting any. The only thing other than the $8 million is performance based add-ons, which would only be $2 million more.
I don't know.
Right?
I don't know enough about what goes on with the Qatari relationship with Juventus.
I'm sure they're paying him a lot of money.
Yeah,
but you know he's benefiting from.
Well, maybe they're getting some kind of other deal that we don't know about.
That's true. Huh? Some oil money.
Yeah,
somehow. And, you know, there's a lot of traction right now with Inter's Perisic going to Arsenal.
Yeah, I heard that. Inter actually wants to offload him.
Well, they've been wanting to offload him. I wouldn't say wanting to, but they've been kind of dangling him in front of teams like Manchester United because they wanted him. And from what I remember, they were asking some ridiculous number, like $50 million or something like that. And now what's being said is that their Arsenal is only offering $34 million, and it looks like it's going to go through.
That's great business for Arsenal, because I think that in this market, $34 million for a player like Perisic, I mean, I know he's a little bit older.
No, he's only 29. He still has at least 3 years, right?
Oh, yeah, but still, I mean, come on.
I agree with you, though.
It's kind of hard to think about these numbers sometimes, but yeah, I think he's a great option. Arsenal definitely need a big bully in the midfield. You know, I don't think Aaron Ramsey was worth the wages they were paying him, but he was still like that bully presence in the midfield, right. And if Arsenal can get a guy like Perisic in there, to set up and spray balls out wide to Lacazette or Aubameyang and they can bring him in centrally, that's going to be awesome for them. I think that's a really great pickup. If they
I think
get
so
him.
Too. I think they're doing good business over at Arsenal. I think they're doing, they're taking all the necessary steps in order to put themselves there by next year.
Well, they still got to solve the Ozil problem.
I read something. They were looking to trade, who was it? A team in Italy. I think it was discussed. There's a $34 million fee, but I think it was discussed Perisic for Ozil to Inter.
If Inter can afford his wages, that's the problem with Ozil. His wages are a big old sink.
Isn't he making like 200 or something like that?
He's making like 300. He's their highest paid player.
Is he?
Yeah. So, and then Aaron Ramsey wanted a bigger deal than him. It's crazy. But so Arsenal has a problem here because Ozil was brought in to be the future of the club.
Right. I'm sorry. Let me interrupt for a sec. Nainggolan for Ozil. That's who it was.
Oh, okay.
That's who they wanted to swap out. Sorry. So you're not paying Nainggolan a lot of money, so you would be having to take those wages on, like you were saying.
Yeah, it's the problem isn't Arsenal getting another replacement for Ozil. The problem is trying to convince a club to pay wages for Ozil that he has at Arsenal, because otherwise he's just going to wait his contract out.
I don't think he's that same player that he was when he played for Real and then when he first came to Arsenal.
When he first came, he was good. I mean, he was one of the best assisting players in the Premier League.
I agree.
But I don't know. It's just like he can't be bothered sometimes when he's on the pitch to do anything.
And
so it's like,
he's not very physical either. I feel like he's, not physical at all.
Yeah. That's why I think Perisic will fit in perfectly there. I mean, he's going to be physical. It's a physical league. And I think he's going to do great. As far as Ozil's concerned though, they need to convince some club that's rich to pay wages for him to get rid of him. Otherwise, like I say, because Arsenal doesn't have a lot of money to buy people. The owner even said that they're going to be basically reduced to loan, trying to get players on loan. For a team that wants to compete in the top four in the Premier League, you cannot not buy players when everyone else is buying players. The fact that they can get 35 million scrounged up just to get Perisic is going to be amazing for them, but they need to get rid of Ozil.
That's the problem with the way everything's going is if you have the money, that's who's getting all the good players right now. So it just shows you how business savvy a team like Arsenal is, that they can make up deals for some great players. I think Perisic is a great player. He's been so good for Inter while all these other teams are overspending. And that's funny because that was always Wenger's thing. He never wanted to overpay for a player.
Right.
He thought it was getting ridiculous, and the fans absolutely hated that he wouldn't buy players.
Well,
and like you said, I think most of that was out of his control.
I mean, at some point you just got to throw your philosophy aside because that's just the way the market is. I mean, if you want to compete, you got to buy players. But the problem with Arsenal again is like with Stan Kroenke's focus on the LA Rams project, he's just not giving any of his personal money to buy players for Arsenal.
Right.
And being as a Rams fan, I know it's good for us, but even the Rams are going to be in a big spot when all those rookie contracts pop up.
Yep.
So, you know, it's just sports are crazy expensive. Arsenal's got to find a big sponsorship deal or something. They need the cash.
So Thierry Henry was sacked officially this past weekend. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
So he wasn't doing very good. He got sacked. So now they're bringing back their old manager, Leonardo Jardim. The only thing about him is now Leicester is really pushing for Tillman, the Belgian.
Hmm.
So him and Leonardo didn't get along.
Okay.
And so now that he's back, I guess there's rumors coming out of there saying that he's unhappy with the signing and he's looking to leave. And so Leicester got word of that and they're really pushing for.
Yeah. Thierry Henry got kind of hard done by there because, I mean.
Was it premature?
Yeah, definitely.
I think so too.
Seven of his starting 11 got injured and he got into this really horrible situation and it doesn't, and they didn't even give him a full transfer window. How do you hire a manager when your club's
into
in trouble
the season, right?
Halfway through the beginning of the season and then not even give them a full transfer window to try and fix things. It's crazy. And then everyone's hurt when they're starting against PSG. They're starting six kids that are under 18 years old. What do you expect from them? And then they do some business like bringing in Cesc Fabregas and Pepe. And
do you think Fabregas was a signee of Henry though? Do you think he brought him in?
I have to think so. I mean,
because they've been rumored he was going to go to Milan for years.
That was a great bit of business by them.
I think so too.
I mean,
Fabregas is a quality player.
Yeah, definitely. He's a little slow, but I mean, it's the French league, so it's not like he has to be super fast. And yeah, they don't even let him finish out the transfer window and try and see what he can do with these signings. That's ridiculous.
Now, you heard that he made a comment to one of the players that picked up on camera, right? It said he told him that, like, it was the son, he was the grandson of a whore or something like that.
I didn't see that.
So yeah, so it picked him up, and he got suspended for it first, and then I think within 48 hours they fired him. It was a big talk. He apologized, said he shouldn't have said it. But here's the thing. I don't know French. From what I've read, it's a common term, like saying son of a bee. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't know if he really meant like you're the grandson of a whore or whatever, or is it just an expression? Maybe it was wrong, but I think they may have been pressured into doing that because there was a lot of negative media surrounding that.
Yeah, for firing managers for being emotional. I don't know.
But that's dumb, right?
That's super dumb. I mean, if we can make it through the Mourinho era, we can make it through Thierry Henry calling someone a son of a bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And so Tottenham now, there's reports that they're moving in for Adrien Rabiot. I thought that was a done deal already, Barcelona, but now this just came up today.
No. Barca got Frankie de Jong and basically eliminates the need for Rabiot. And thank goodness for that, because I do not think he would have done well at Barcelona.
Why? What is it about him that you don't think he...
I mean, we already have enough players who are trying to throttle Barcelona for wages. The last thing we need is a guy like... a woman like his mother coming in with the attitude that she has, negotiate the contracts that she wants, trying to hustle us for a whole bunch of money.
That does his
mom's his agent, yeah. And she's the one that causes all the problems at PSG.
All right, hold on. Can you elaborate on that a little bit? Because this is news to me.
Yeah, so Rabiot's agent is his mother, and she's known as a hothead and a really shrewd negotiator, and pissed off Tuchel so much that he benched Rabiot for the whole season. He hasn't played. He just hasn't played.
I thought he benched him, because what I heard is he benched him because he said he was not going to sign a new contract. He was going to leave. And so they said, we're benching you.
He's saying that because his mother is telling him to say that. His
mother, isn't he 20, what, 24?
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's kind of like, you know, Neymar's dad situation, but it's Rabiot's mom.
I just don't think Neymar would believe, or like if his dad, like Mayweather, you know, it's Mayweather's dad tells him, he's like, all right, sit down. You know, I think that's kind of like Neymar's attitude.
I don't know if, from, you know, what we hear about the way that his mom handles negotiations, we just don't need that toxicity in the club.
And so what happened with the conversation now at Barcelona?
Well, to be honest, we were thinking that PSG was going to be able to get Frankie de Jong. And he decided to sign for Barca. And so that kind of laid the pressure off of us for building our midfield.
He's 19, right?
He is.
I respect what he did. 19, 20, 21, whatever. I respect what he did because he informed PSG.
He's 21.
21. He informed PSG. He informed, I think it was Tottenham that was the other team. Or who was the other team that was looking to get him? There was two besides you guys.
PSG. I think City talked about it, but I don't think they ever really had hope.
That's what it was. You're right. It was City and PSG. He informed them before going public. I really appreciate it. Thank you for, you know, your interest, but I'm going to sign with Barcelona.
Yeah. And I mean, Barcelona has a really deep, you know, Dutch connection. And
well, their manager that introduced that Tiki Taka was Dutch, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. And he's Johan Cruyff, and they just named Ajax Stadium after him. It's not the Amsterdam Arena anymore. It's the Johan Cruyff Arena.
Is it?
Yeah.
No, there you go.
I mean, and Cruyff was the manager at Barcelona and a really awesome player for Barcelona. Mm-hmm. And I think that the guys up there at Ajax know that this is a really big opportunity to get some more Dutch blood into the Barcelona lineup.
It's good for business.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. And Ajax wants its players to go to Barcelona, and I don't blame them. Because, I mean, PSG... You know, you're just going to be one star among many. And at least at Barcelona, you're part of a whole. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, no matter, you know, if you're good, you're going to be a star, of course, because you play for Barcelona. But you're also part of a machine that works together as opposed to something like a Real Madrid or a PSG where it's, you know, stars come together to like a Galactico team.
Right. So let's go back. We mentioned Fabregas going to Monaco. So at the beginning of the whole season, we kind of had our predictions, you and I. Mm. And, yeah, I really thought that Monaco they were going to be an underdog team. They were going to be under the radar and they were just going to surprise everybody. And they didn't do that. So they have a lot of holes to fill.
They didn't just not do that.
They underachieved.
Remember what I said? I don't see this point getting this team getting a single point.
You did say that. That's true.
And you were blown away.
I thought you were crazy. I was like, are you kidding me? Yeah, I think I almost fell off my chair when you said that. And they didn't even draw, right? They lost every single one?
They did draw one. So they got one point. So I was wrong by one point.
Still, that's a bold prediction. That's a very, very bold prediction.
I mean, I really, honestly, you just had to look at the team sheet, man. You just had to see how many players they sold, who they brought in, and you're like, this is a mid-table French league team. And if it's a mid-legal, if it's a mid-table French league team, there's no way they're going to be able to compete in the Champions League.
I don't know what
league.
It was. I thought that with the players that they had, that having already Champions League experience, I know that because they brought in a couple of people, even though they get left some people go, they brought in some people last year, like Tillman, that was already, you know, used to playing in that Falcao, was starting to play really well again. And I felt like they were going to make some kind of splash, and they didn't do that, you know, and it's really unfortunate. But, you know, shouts out to Atletico. They did really well. They surprised me. I know you expected them to do that well, but they surprised me. And then now
I'm actually, don't forget you wrote them off.
Oh my gosh. Dortmund.
And they're amazing.
That's the thing. Okay. So Dortmund is what, the best team in Germany, would you say?
Yeah, no, definitely.
They look so good. And with whole, and then, you know, Christian Pulisic going to Chelsea.
That's right.
Sancho. If they didn't have Sancho, I think they wouldn't have been able to really get rid of Pulisic. That is great business for them.
To get that much money for a bench player is insane. Whatever they're doing at Dortmund is crazy.
Well, he was a starter until Sancho had his breakout, you know, and he started, well, and then they kind of pushed him to the bench.
Pulisic's been a bench player for this whole season. Sancho's been good from the start. So they got him.
They saw something in the summer because he played a lot. He started a lot last year. They saw something in the summer that they decided to go with it, and it paid off.
Apparently, he's been showing really good. I mean, so he's a Manchester City youth product, and apparently he's been amazing ever since he was a little kid. So the fact that City didn't even try to hold on to that kid is insane.
It happens. Look at United with Pogba. Yeah. You know, they did attempt, kind of, you know, but not really. And then Juventus said, yeah, we'll give you that shot.
Yeah, and now then, City's losing another youth kid to the to Schalke. I think that deal just went through. What was that guy's name? Let me see here.
Wow. Come on, City. What are you guys doing, man?
Yeah. I can't remember his name.
So that's the gift and a curse of having Pep Guardiola, right? Is I think he tactically he adjusts very well. But the problem with that is if you're not his specific kind of player, he has a winning formula in his head. If you're not that specific kind of player, you're whatever. You can get rid of you. Now, if he loses his job, as we know, different managers see different things. These guys do good, like Sancho's doing good over at Dortmund. Whatever it was that Pep didn't see with him, another manager could have seen. Now you lose out on that kind of talent. You can integrate that kind of talent into your system, I'm sure. When you're that young, that's your job as a manager. How can I get this player who's very talented to fit into my system? Or at least hold on to him, you know, show him off a little bit to make clubs wanting coming to us so that way we can get some money for him.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's purely Pep Guardiola. I mean, that seems to me that that's just the way that the Premier League handles its youth. They're very a results now oriented league. It's the most watched league. It's the most profitable league. So they need to get players that make results right now. Whereas places like Germany, Spain, even France, well, especially France, they have that time to kind of like get these players integrated in the system, be like, it's okay if we don't win the league this year, as long as we get these guys developed. Like that's what happened to Monaco. And then they brought in really talented youth scouts. They built up a youth team, a core. They did really well with them, but then they sold all their players without getting any good replacement.
Right.
Premier League's not like that. Even the mid-table teams are trying to buy players that are performing now, like West Ham's with Arnautovic.
It's about Gomez, right? I thought so. I thought I saw something like that.
I'm not sure, but... yeah, but that's what I'm saying. There's no Premier League team that's concerned with building up this youth into their system because they just want to stay in the Premier League because that's $100 million worth of television rights.
Right. But that's the thing with all the cups that they have is if you advance so far, the TV money that you get from that is astronomical because of how much views and the deals that they have in place already. Like you said, the Premier League is the go-to league.
Yeah.
I thought that's where Neymar was going to go. I feel like that's where all the best players would want to go. You know, they don't tend to do like Messi has no intention of going down there, right? Ronaldo already played there, but I don't feel like he intended to go back, you know, and you know, you start seeing all these other teams that are expanding, but it's always been the Premier League. Like for me, if I had a go-to league to watch, it's the Premier League.
It's funny that you say that because I always feel like it's just that available is why people watch it. If La Liga was more available for everyone to watch, I think they would watch La Liga instead because I'd rather watch Huesca play against Real Sociedad than watch watch Fulham play against Brighton.
I agree with
that.
It's
so boring. The entertainment in the other leagues is outrageous. It's just that the Premier League is just so marketed, so mm-hmm. heavily available. But if you look at like ELO rankings of all the clubs, the Spanish league mid-table clubs dominate the English mid-table right. clubs. And the it's just better quality all around Europe. But like I said, it's not as easily available.
And I think you're right, because if you were to shove any league in someone's face, like you said, they would watch it, other than the MLS, because everyone knows it's not really that quality. But if it was La Liga, if it was the German league, if it was Serie A, if it was even maybe Liga 1, people would tune in to watch that. But because the, you know, like you said, the Premier League, they go in and they've made all the deals and they got everything that's what's accessible to mm-hmm. everybody. Everybody watches it.
Yeah.
Well, the reason why I enjoy the Premier League is I'm not a fan of United, obviously, right? I enjoy watching United will fall to mid-table team. And I enjoy watching it. You know, Chelsea will fall to a mid-table team. I enjoy watching that. I don't, it's hard for me to think, like, obviously this year's a little different, but I can't see, you know, really Barcelona losing to a mid-table team or Real Madrid.
Oh, it happens.
yeah, but that's very rare. You know, even we're like, oh, that's like, and I feel like in the Premier League, you can have some of these top teams that whenever these mid-table teams play them, they outperform. Like they come to play. So to say, you know, they might not reflect it on the points, but they come right. to play. And so that's just, I don't know, that's my opinion. But there's
Yannick, I mean, I'll say that there's a bigger gap between the top five teams in England than there is in Spain right now. The real title race going on in La Liga.
Yeah. Yeah. But like you said, there's not.
And City won the league by like 20 points last season. How was that fun?
Yeah. It was, I think it was like 18. You're right. Yannick Carrasco is rumored to want to leave China, and he's linked heavily with Arsenal.
I don't know where Arsenal's getting this cash. I swear I read not that long ago that they couldn't even afford any transfers.
I'm sure that's the case. I'm sure what's going on is they're probably, you know how they are. You can do business where you, you know, 2-year period, you can pay someone off or whatever, you know, or you can initially pay someone something and then bonuses kick in and all that other stuff. So I don't know. I'm sure there's things like that. There's a report here that says that Perisic and Arsenal already agreed to terms. It's just okay. They're waiting on Inter and them to have that. So
what time is it? How were they doing deals at like 1 a.m?
This one was a couple hours ago, but okay. I'm just looking at this one. But yay, that's how it goes, right? Yeah, they don't care with the window closing as close as it is. They will make deals at the end of the overnight like that.
Yeah.
So like we talked about Pulisic going to Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think that that was an area that Chelsea was lacking, or do you think that they weren't? So do you, how much playing time do you see him getting, and how do you see him fitting well with the Premier League and the chemistry that team already has?
Well, we know Willian's in decline. I mean, he's got...
But they've been playing on the left side, right? While Hazard has been playing the middle? Or is it just... I watch highlights. I haven't actually seen their matches, so I just always see him on the left side lately.
Yeah, I thought Pedro was on the left side, but maybe you're right. But either way, Pedro isn't getting any younger either. I mean, I love Pedro, but Willian and Pedro are getting up there in years. I mean, Willian doesn't look it, but he's actually like in his 30s.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they do need some young talent on the wing. And I think that's going to help Higuain even more and definitely keep some of the pressure off of Hazard to have to make everything happen by himself. So right. I think he might even start coming in once he gets warmed up into the system. I mean, Pulisic's a good player. I mean, I know he's got the American bias on his shoulders, and I think maybe he's not quite as amazing as everyone says he is, but
brilliant on Dortmund's part, because the players that they have sold in the last couple of years,
no kidding,
like they've been able to get astronomical numbers.
No, they're doing great
for, you know, the talent that might not be there.
Yeah, but yeah, I think Pulisic will do well at Chelsea. I mean, I'm not super thrilled to see him in a blue shirt, but you know, I think he'll do fine.
Yeah. So yeah, West Ham, they ended up landing Maxi Gomez from Real Celtic. Is that who it is? Is that what he plays for? Real Betis.
Oh, Real Betis.
Or Real Celtic. Yeah, something like that.
Real Betis is the green end.
Not the Betis. It's the one that has the spear going down with the crest in the middle. There's a picture right there. You see it?
Oh, Celta. Celta Vigo.
There you go. Yeah. So yeah, they $57 million, it says. I don't know how accurate that is, but yeah.
Gomez is good.
Yeah, but that's a pretty high price. Because how old is he? Like what, 27 or so?
I'm not sure. Celta is a good team, though, I'll tell you that.
They're not doing too bad. They're one of the teams that surprised you.
They always give Barca a hard time.
Oh, no, it's not the same dude.
But you're forgetting the most important transfer of all.
What's that?
Kevin Prince-Boateng to Barcelona. the prince has come to Barcelona.
You know, it's funny. When he got picked up, social media was showing the time when they won the cup at Milan, and he dressed as Michael Jackson, was dancing. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And so I didn't even know about that. And I was like, man, this guy can dance. This guy's pretty freaking talented. And
don't sleep on Kevin Prince, man. I know it's easy to make fun of this transfer, but we really need a little bit more depth. Suarez needs a little bit of a rest. Right. If we can get anyone, if he gets 4 goals, I'll take it.
Well, it just goes to show you what they believe about the transfer, because the point that I was making with that is that they would rather talk about his dancing skills than they would him as a player. Mm. And he's been pretty successful everywhere he's gone.
He did all right with Las Palmas.
He didn't do well he didn't do too bad with Tottenham. But Las Palmas, I liked the team that they had because they had Halilovic, they had Boateng, and then they had one other guy that was a big name. Who is the other name? I think he was a winger.
I can't remember.
It was a young guy that I really, but I was like, hey, this team actually did good. And they were all loanies. They were all lone players. Yeah.
No, I think Kevin Prince is going to do fine if we can just get someone in there that can just score a few goals. Because the problem is we need to rotate Suarez. We put Mounir in there and he just can't score.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe Kevin, KP can do something. And if he just gets a couple of goals while we're rotating Suarez out, I'm cool with that.
I think he's going to get it more than 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
I hope so.
I think he'll get 8.
Okay.
6 to 8 is my prediction. I think that he's
going to fit. It's a lot for the rest of the season.
Yeah, but I think he's going to fit well. That I think he's going to get cleanup goals or just, those little tap-ins. I think that he's going to be in position. I think he's going to fit in really well too.
Well, where he's going to be struggling for playtime. So thing. I have no doubt he can. It's just if he has the opportunity to do so. Like I said, 4 goals, I'll be happy.
Yeah, if he has the opportunity, I think he'll get 6 to 8. That's my prediction.
Well, right on.
So, that's pretty much what we have for the transfer news. There's a lot of things that are speculating right now that, really no one, big names, not really a lot of big names, like Sturaro went to Genoa and Pontiac went to Milan and, but those ones aren't really ones that interest.
Gelson Martins went to Monaco.
Oh, and Tim Weah went to Celtic, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And he scored his debut.
PSG?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
He was getting playing time. He wanted to leave. He's on loan. He doesn't want to leave PSG. He just wanted to get some playing time. And he's been doing really well.
Well, good for him.
US had a friendly, was it the day before yesterday, right? 2-0. They beat Panama.
That's right. Yeah, Panama.
So they're not doing too bad. The talent looks pretty good. But moving on, we'll go to Champions League. So Champions League starts on the 12th of February. And they got a couple of actually good games right from the start to kick it off. So they got, We got Manchester United and PSG,
mm-hmm.
Roma and Porto. So I don't mind the Roma and Porto because I think that's the quality of the team. I think both of those teams, they're going to put on a good game. Obviously, Manchester United and PSG, that's going to be a game to watch, especially since
Neymar's going to be out for both legs.
Yes, he is, yeah.
But I don't think that's going to hurt PSG. I think they're going to be able to beat United.
Well, they've had Di Maria playing that role, and he scored, I believe, in his last 2 matches. Or 2 goals in the last 2 games.
Well, they still have, they still got Mbappe, too. And the problem with United is their defense is slow and old. They're just not going to be able to handle the attack that's coming from PSG, even without Neymar. So I think PSG's got this one in the bag.
Well, who's the defender they have? Bailey? Is that his name?
Yeah. And,
why are they playing
Stones?
Him? Because there's talks about him. I think Arsenal wanted him, right?
I'm not sure.
If I remember correctly, he would do well when he played, right?
Not really that great. I mean, he makes a lot of, pretty silly mistakes, and he was supposed to be basically the next big thing. I mean, he's supposed to be amazing and he just wasn't. So
it didn't work out that way.
United just, they look and revitalized under, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Undefeated, right?
Yeah, but they've had a pretty cake schedule since they brought him on.
It's a good story, though. Pogba's happy he scored.
Yeah.
They're undefeated, right? Lukaku assisted a goal, I believe. Lingard's doing his thing. Lukaku, what's going on with him? Everyone, he's a striker that gets paid a lot of money, doesn't score goals, and yet no one talks about this.
Scores some goals. I mean, he's doing okay.
Is he worth it, though? Here we go. If you had a choice between Lukaku and Costa, who would you take?
The thing is, you got to remember, he was operating within a system that wasn't designed to attack. So if under
you're talking about Mourinho's system.
Yeah, Mourinho's system. So if I really can't say how good or not good he's been until I see, him freed up a little bit more with Pogba laying deep spraying balls like he should be, and Martial and what's the kid's name? Rashford. Right.
Well, they're doing really good. You like him on the wing?
Oh, yeah.
I like him too.
Definitely. So we'll see. We'll see. I think PSG is going to be a big wake-up call, though, to United fans that think that they've turned it all around. It was all Mourinho's fault.
Right.
So I think PSG is definitely going to be a slap in the face for them. And we'll see.
I agree. I think that's where the magic starts kind of fizzling out, because anytime something new comes up, it can spark. But, you know, that's going to go off eventually. And we mentioned Rashford on the wing. There's talks that now Marcel is saying that he's really happy at United. He doesn't want to go anywhere. Before, there was talks about him going to Juventus, him going to...
Pogba, you're talking about?
No, Martial.
Oh, Martial. Oh, yep. I think he's talented. He's a good attacker. I think the United should try to hang on to him. Especially, like I said, in today's market, losing an attacker and trying to replace them is such an expensive proposition right now. So if you can hold on to your attackers that look like they can produce, I feel like
learn from your mistakes. I felt like you prematurely let go of Depay, Memphis, and look at how good he's doing. Mm-hmm. You know, so you have Marcel. Don't let him go, because who knows what's going to happen.
Right.
Now, and I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen, but like you said, the physical tools are there. He does look impressive. There's a couple things he needs to work on, right? His finishing isn't, you know, completely that great.
Yeah.
And sometimes when he gets in the final third, his touch isn't that great. But as far as utilizing him within the system, continue to build him, I think he can work really well with the team that they have. Getting those balls into to Lukaku, like they need, is really going to spark that. Start taking some attention away from the wings, because they know that's how they play.
Right.
Get them focused back on your, you know, the middle and Lukaku, and then that opens up you for the wings both sides.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I like some of the players Manchester United has. I never really believed Pogba going back to Juventus. I know that was a big talk. There was reports a couple of days ago that said that he was going to leave. He's going to leave for a Spanish giant. That's the only time he'll leave. How much do you believe that?
I don't know. I always thought it was just the him versus Mourinho thing. I think United are going to do everything they can to keep Pogba, because it was basically, who do we want? Who do we think is more important in the future, Pogba or Mourinho? Really what the decision came down to. They decided to get rid of Mourinho. So Pogba's got to stay. Pogba doesn't stay. That's tragedy for United.
So what is it about Mourinho that people don't enjoy? What is it that he keeps bouncing around?
He's a poor player manager. Uh-huh. So he doesn't have great relationships with the players, which I think in today's world is pretty important. And he has a system that, while revolutionary when he went to the Premier League for the first time, has just gotten old. Everyone's running a 4-3-3. And that system, that 4-3-3 system, was designed to directly counter the Mourinho system.
Mm.
Alex Ferguson put that 4-3-3 system into place to directly contradict Mourinho's, what was he running, a 5-3-2-1, something like that, Christmas tree. Yeah, it's just everyone knows his game. He hasn't changed his game in 10 years. And that's just the way that it goes. When you put a defensive style manager into a historically attacking type team like Manchester United, it's just not a good fit. I never thought it was a good fit. And he left. He got fired. So
he's publicly come out and said that he doesn't feel that it's a necessity to build a relationship with the players, that we're all there to do a job. My job is to prepare them as best as possible to win the match, and their job is to train as hard as possible and fit within the system. So when a manager says that, you know there's got to be something behind closed doors that doesn't fit right, because how can you sit there and say it's not vital to the team's success to get along with the players?
Well, you know, it's hard to say, because we can't deny the titles that Mourinho has won. And another manager that is known for having very poor man management skills is Pep Guardiola. And he also has a lot of titles that we can't deny. Then there's styles like Klopp, Tuchel. Unai Emery's even been known to get along with his players really great. And I think one of the best player-manager relationships, and I really hate to say it, is Zidane. He got along great with the Real Madrid locker room, and look what they were able to accomplish.
Right.
So it's really just a difference in styles. If you're not a great man manager, but you have the tactics and the willpower like Pep Guardiola or Mourinho, then that's fine. It wasn't the player management thing that brought down United. It was Mourinho's system that brought down United.
Right. And lack of change, I feel, right? Because he's so stubborn in his ways that he's like, no, this will work. Right. I know it worked. And so the adjustment wasn't really there. And like you said, teams figured them out.
Yeah.
Then you got day before Valentine's Day, February 13th, Tottenham, Dortmund. That's a real good one. Mm. Ajax, Real Madrid. And yeah, those are the two matchups that you have. So before we move on, I'm sorry. This is my fault. Let's get predictions for the Roma, Porto, and Manchester and PSG.
Yeah, PSG is going to take Manchester United. I think they're going to get
2-0.
I think it's going to be 3-0 aggregate. I think they're going to get 1 at Old Trafford and 2 at the Parc des Princes.
Okay. What about Roma Porto? What do you see?
That one's a little bit tougher because I underrated the Portuguese teams this year and overrated the Russian teams this year. So Porto handled Lokomotiv Moscow, I think, was in their group pretty easily. Yeah. So they look good. They look exciting. A young attacking team. Roma, on the other hand, is on a little bit of a downturn. Dzeko got a couple of goals the other day, so that's nice for them. I think it's going to be a really good matchup. I think it's going to go... I think Roma's still going to edge it out 3-2.
I think so too. Yeah. 1 goal aggregate. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
Tottenham, Dortmund. And what do you see there?
Yeah. Again, you know, I was really praising Dortmund at the beginning of the year, and I'm going to keep on with the Dortmund train. I think that the attacking talent there... especially, and their veterans in the back are just too strong. Tottenham's looking pretty shaky right now.
They dropped, what, 2 in a row now?
They're not.
Yeah. And then they drew the...
They went from being title contenders to being trying to get that fourth spot pretty quickly. So
yeah, they sit in third, but they are, what, 9 points behind first place Liverpool and mm-hmm. 5 points behind Tottenham with Chelsea just 3 points behind them and Arsenal 6 points behind them.
It doesn't look good for them there. There still doesn't look like they're making any moves in the transfer window. So that's 2 transfer windows gone by where they haven't spent any money. I mean, what was the last transfer? Lucas Moura?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Like,
and he was a reject for PSG. He's done good for them. But,
yeah. We'll see, man. I just don't think they're going to be able to beat Dortmund here. I really see Dortmund going 5-2 on these guys.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't think, and those two obviously coming from Kane?
Kane or Son or Eriksen might get one. He gets one every once in a while.
So there's talks about Eriksen leaving to Real Madrid.
Phew, I thought they got off that train. They wanted too much money.
Well, yeah, they do. But they want
Levy is a crude negotiator.
They want $400 million for Kane. Yeah, that's crazy. Ridiculous. No one's going to pay that.
No one's going to pay that, and they need to sell players if they want to get any players in. They're in a bad shape right now. They're way too deep in financial trouble with their stadium, so that's their fault.
You're talking about Tottenham?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not even that impressive. I know there's been a couple NFL games there, and they've shown it, and I'm like, all that for this?
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. They're in trouble.
It's tough. It's going to take them. I think, you know, they kind of need to bag this year and then start focusing on next year.
Yep.
I think that's the best thing that they can do. So, yeah, I don't really see Real Madrid and Ajax being that entertaining. You know,
I disagree. I think it's going to be a shootout. So?
Well,
I
think with De Jong leaving and...
Well, he doesn't leave till next year.
Oh.
The deal's for the summer.
Oh, never mind then. Okay, that changes everything. No, that midfield possession and that control, mm-hmm. that does a lot. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
The deal was done this transfer window, but yeah, he doesn't transfer until the summer.
Okay, so I thought it was a big hit when Clivert left. And then they announced this. There's another kid from there that's actually really good, right?
De Ligt.
That's who's mm-hmm. he going to? There's talks that he's no one.
No one's. He's a center back. He's a young center back. He's going to go somewhere, but there's no talks of him leaving this transfer window.
Do they still have what is that defender's name? I think his last name is Sancho, right?
He's
Colombian or something like that.
Oh, Sanchez. That guy plays for someone else.
So they sold him.
I don't know. Ajax looks good, man, and Real Madrid does not look good. So I really think it's going to be a shootout. I actually am going to give the edge to Ajax on this one.
What do you say? 3-2? 2-1?
I think it's going to be 2-1. Yeah. I think that Madrid are going to win 1-0 at the Bernabeu, and I think that Ajax is going to take 2-0 at the Johan Cruyff Arena.
So why... what's going on with Real Madrid? Why are they not playing to expectations?
Well...
Especially this late in the year.
I think they actually are playing to expectations. I really think the last couple of seasons they overachieved based on their squad, because it's an aging squad. They haven't brought a lot of new young talent in that has shown a lot of promise. Isco has fallen off in his developments mm-hmm. for some reason. Asensio's being played out of position, so he's fallen down in development.
Well, that's their brightest star, I think.
He was, but yeah, he can't buy a goal to save his life, mm-hmm. so we'll see. He's being played on the wing. I think he's more of a creative midfielder,
right.
in my opinion.
Well, they're having Isco play that role, right?
They got a lot of issues going on. And, you know, it was kind of a manager. I think that Zidane kind of saw this coming. And I think that he exited as gracefully as possible for a person in his position, because he just knew that the way the business was being handled right now is that, you know, the time is up. And he left. And he was super smart to do it.
So there's reports that came out after Ronaldo was sold. Well, way after, because it wasn't in the summer. It was like last November that said that, and I think these were confirmed, Zidane left because he was trying to convince Real Madrid not to sell Ronaldo and to sell Bale. And so when they weren't, that wasn't happening, and it looked like that wasn't going to happen leading up to the summer, and it looked like Ronaldo was going to be the one to go, he felt like that was the best time to exit. Which, like you said, to be intuitive enough to know, okay, if this guy leaves, you know, yeah, you have a name like Bale, but that's all you have is a name.
Yeah.
It's not going to be enough to carry the franchise, and I'm not going to stick around for
it's
that.
It's amazing to see how much of that team Ronaldo was carrying on his back, because they can't score goals. They can't create anything. Modric has slowed down a lot in the last year, and which just exposed how slow Kroos actually is on the ball.
Oh, man, he is so slow. But he's so good.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Well, he used to. I should say he was good.
That midfield is getting dominated every week by La Liga teams. So it's just an aging squad. A team like Madrid should have been buying players a long time ago that had, you know, I will say this, they bought younger players, and for something that I praise them for, it's actually starting to bite them in the butt, because a lot of these younger players just aren't producing.
They're not, you know, you live up to potential, or you have potential, and that's what they purchase them on. You know, you being a La Liga expert, you talk about them having an aging midfield, right? They can dominate. And what, in your opinion, do you think needs to happen in order for them to just, are you talking about like a full revamp of the midfield, and who do they need to get rid of? Who should they bring in? Who do you think fits the system? And, you know, is, what's his name? Solano, is he still the manager there?
Solari. And yes, he is.
Is he the one that you think carries this team forward, or you look for another option?
No, he's a caretaker manager. Everyone knows that. I knew that going in. They said, I've heard people say, well, he signed a contract. Well, it's actually, you can't be a manager in Spain without a 2-year contract, basically. So that 2-year contract just means that he's just legally employed by Madrid.
But a contract doesn't stop anybody from firing somebody.
Well, that too. But people would say that, oh, well, this is an indication that he might be the guy. I'm like, no. Legally, he just needs a contract to work in Spain.
2 years.
To work as a manager in Spain. Yeah. So that's the deal there. Everyone really, people close to Madrid knew he's not the guy. So they're in a transitional period. You know, he's got a caretaker manager. They need to spend a lot of money to revamp their midfield. And they're in kind of a trouble spot, because if you look at their rivals, Barcelona, we've been buying a lot of midfielders to try and find someone right to replace Xavi, to replace Iniesta. And now with the aggressive De Jong purchase, that's going to be our Busquets guy, you know, in the future going forward. So we've spent a lot of time, a lot of money, and had a lot of flops go through Barcelona that we were made fun of. But that's what you have to do to rebuild your team. I mean, this team doesn't look like the same team that won the treble in 2014. It's just not.
Well, there's so much attention with Barcelona that they're regardless of who's the best in the world and this and that, Barcelona has a winning formula. And anytime they make a mistake, they magnify that mistake because they enjoy to see a team like Barcelona fail.
Well, and it takes, like I said, it takes a lot of money to build a team that good. And Real Madrid had a team that good for a long time, and they spent a lot of money get all those players. And they just have to do it again, and they haven't done it, and that's why they're not doing well. It's that simple.
Well, if you kind of playing into what Real Madrid is known for, I feel like they always hit that kind of period. They've always hit that period where they've held on to players too long and haven't really made the adjustment to go young. I want to say like mid-2000s, they had that issue. And even, you know, in the 90s, they had that issue. To me, I feel as though like you said, they need to bring in younger talent, replace some of the older talent.
I don't even think they need younger talent. They need to buy good players that are good now, right now. It's emergency scenario right now at Real Madrid.
How much money would you, let me say it like this. Give a cap of how much money you would spend, and then let's pick players to fit that mold.
If they want to be as good as Barcelona or PSG or Man City right now, they probably will have to spend, I would say, $400 million.
Okay, so with $400 million, that would buy you, that could buy you, I'm trying to think of what they
I'll
need.
Tell you who they're, I like who they're, I'll tell you who they think they, who I think they need to buy, or who they think they might buy. I think they are going to get Hazard in the summer.
Okay.
And I think it's going to be $150 million deal. I think that they're going to get Neymar to Real Madrid for $200 million. So that's 350 right there.
Damn.
And I think they're going to get some striker somewhere. I think they might even buy an old Lewandowski for 50 million. We'll see. But if you get a guy on the wing that's as creative as Neymar, a guy that's good in the 18-yard box like Lewandowski, and a creative midfielder like Hazard, all your problems
are
solved.
That's what you need. I agree. I think you need someone who's deadly inside the 18, and you need someone that's on that wing that's going to push the pace, and that ultimately brings your midfield back
up. And they're going to sell Bale. I bet they're going to sell Bale, and they're going to make up some of that cost.
Where does he go? How much do you think he'll sell for? 90 million?
I think he'll go to Arsenal.
Ooh, man, that's... If Arsenal can do that, if they're pulling in Yannick Carrasco, they're pulling in Perisic, and they bring in
That's Bale. Pure guess, by the way, for the listeners out there.
Yeah, that's fine, but I'm saying, like, don't sleep on him, folks. I know you guys, you know, he's talking about pure guessing. There's conversations that we have that I feel like is just silly, and then they come to fruition. So, yeah, don't sleep on that. That's actually a pretty good... if that happens, I mean, I'll take you out for a coffee, man. I told you
I should have gotten spetboarding a long time ago.
Yeah. So moving on from Real Madrid to some of the other matchups that we have. Lyon, Barcelona. You think you hunt them pretty easily?
I think we do. Lyon, if it was the Lyon of last year, I think maybe it would be a little bit tougher. But Barcelona is being slept on a lot by a lot of people for this Champions League run, and I really don't know why.
I think that they're still the best, the team to beat in the Champions League.
Yeah, I think that there's everyone likes to make fun of the Roma loss, but Barca's been doing really well in the league. Even with our rotations, we're rotating way more than we were before. The only person we're not rotating as much and we need a replacement for, or at least a backup to, is Alba. But he's at, I think it's 398 games right now in the last, 5 seasons?
That he started?
Yeah. So he's playing a lot, but we're rotating him more and more, and the whole squad's resting up when they need to be, and we're winning games when we're resting our key players, which is important. I think we're a force to be reckoned with. I think that we take Lyon pretty easily 3-0.
So Samudio just scored, right? First goal for Barcelona?
Yeah, he scored.
So he's what, right back or left back?
Right back.
Right back. So, mm-hmm. I mean, if you can get some production out of him, that can...
Oh, he's great. I've always been a big Samedo fan.
I like him too. I just... that defense a little bit, you need guys that they brought in like that to step up.
Yeah. Well, so yeah, and he's taken Sergio Roberto's starting position. So Sergio Roberto will be rest.
He's even a good option at like a midfield, like a center midfield.
Yeah, definitely
position,
more of an advanced position. Yeah, for sure.
So he is, that's a good thing about having him, is you can put him at a defensive position immediately. So now if you have that replacement, you might be able to utilize him in the midfield this year, right? Yeah. And that only benefits you. He saved Barcelona a couple times in the last couple of years. Liverpool, Bayern.
Ooh.
This is an interesting matchup.
Yeah, this is going to be a good one.
Bayern's starting to catch fire.
Bayern's, they always have a second half of the season. Yes, is always really good for them. But Liverpool look good. I mean, I know they dropped, to City 2-1. But even in that game, I mean, we had 3 or 4 chances that they should have scored that they didn't. So,
but everyone knows that when you have a rival within your own league, you know how to better prepare for them because you see them more often. You understand their gameplay. For a team like Bayern and Liverpool, I don't really think they understand how fast Liverpool play, how quickly they can counter you, and how stout their defense actually is.
Well, I think if we're going to be able to make some kind of comparisons, they do handle Dortmund twice a year, and they've been struggling with that matchup. You're right, with the speed and stuff like that. So when you're going to have Salah, Mane, and Firmino running at you full speed, it's going to be tough for them. I actually think Liverpool is going to win this one. It's going to be very close.
I don't know, man, because there was a part of the year last year that I felt like Liverpool was the best team in the world. I've never felt like Dortmund was like that.
I mean, we'll see.
And that's saying a lot because of the teams
Dortmund,
that I like.
But I mean, man, they're scoring for fun out there. They're dominating every team they come up.
They are fun to watch, though, aren't they? I don't care who they're playing. I really do enjoy watching them. I've caught a couple of their games, and they've definitely been more entertaining than the Bayern games. I've caught Bayern the first half of the season, and anytime I can catch them now, I haven't really been eager to because of what I've seen. But man, Dortmund has not disappointed.
Yeah, so Liverpool, I mean, but Salah's on another 20-plus goal season right now on pace.
Liverpool are going to play into this game?
None that I can really think of that are important. No, they look good. They look strong. They have some depth. They have Shaqiri to come in when the team's tired.
Right.
Yeah, they look good. Salah's got 16 goals already.
He is such a great pickup, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
I've always thought he was so good when he was at Bayern, and then he went to Inter. No, he was supposed to go to Inter.
He went to Stoke.
I thought Stoke got a stud. the lack of playmakers, it wears on you. It gets hard. But once he got signed to Liverpool, I said, man, this dude is going to fit in perfectly.
And he's great.
He's come in as like a super sub sometimes. Oh, he's come in and score some goals, or at least as
he only. We were drawn with Chelsea 0-0 in the 80th minute. And they subbed him on. He scored two. So
that's the kind of player that he is. He can spark it at any given time. Atletico Juventus.
Yeah, man. Another good matchup. Well, maybe not entertaining, but it'll be a good one.
Well, it's going to be a defensive battle, I think.
Definitely. I can't say I'm crazy impressed with Atletico Madrid, but you know what? They've snuck up to the second spot in the table just behind Barcelona, and they've been winning games. Juventus is, of course, always winning games. I really don't know. I think you're a better prediction for this matchup than I am. I know Atletico Madrid, but I just don't watch enough Juventus to say going on.
So the one thing that I like and the one concern that I had was the wing play of the opponents, right? I always felt like we would get caught out of position. We would attack too much and get caught out of position. Sandro, I feel like now that he signed the contract and he's in better spirits, so I feel like his focus is a lot stronger. Dechilia has actually been playing really well. And so I to curb some of those wing plays that they have, like Lamar and what's the other midfield they have on the right side?
Raul Garcia?
No, I was thinking of someone else. They've played very well where they've controlled the middle and they've been able to play through their wings.
Right.
And that was the one thing that I felt like Juventus was, it was their worst part, was we had caught our position, they counter, and they played through the wing. And I've always felt, even we've had the same defender, so I've always felt if you can get a ball over the top, for whatever reason, our defenders sometimes sleep or they're caught flat-footed and we get a lot of goals scored on us that way. And that was one aspect that I could see that Atletico pushing. So when I got this matchup, it's great because you want to be challenged all the way through. But at the same time, it worried me because I was like, okay, well, you know, that's a pretty tough matchup coming into it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that Juventus have that X factor. They've got Ronaldo on their team, you know, in the Champions League.
that's a good thing. That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping he turns it up, because the one thing I've seen right now, and this is what I was telling Alyssa, because he gives the ball away in the final third a lot. But what he does as far as drawing attention that opens up everybody else speaks volume. You can't take away from that, because even though he gives up the ball, he causes so much chaos on just one side that it opens up on the other. And so he's been very well for Mandzukic. Mario's done very well when playing side by side with Ronaldo, because Ronaldo trusts Mandzukic, and Mandzukic, they fit really well. Dybala, he's been doing really well for us. You know, he started off a little slow and he was on the bench. He wasn't really playing. They weren't sure how Max Allegri didn't know how he was going to integrate him with the matchup that he had. But when we play Mario in the middle and Ronaldo and Dybala on the wings, that matchup just becomes really deadly.
Yeah. So when I make a lot of predictions, and when I look at two teams that have a really similar style, I always look for maybe that, you know, that fact that there's one thing that separates the two teams. And in this matchup, it's Ronaldo.
Yeah.
And I really think that that's going to edge Juventus out over Atletico Madrid. I think that they're going to probably win this, and it's going to be really tight. It's going to be by one goal. I don't know how many,
agree.
But it'll be by one goal.
And I wouldn't be surprised.
It's probably going to be Ronaldo scoring the dang thing.
You know what? Did you see this past weekend on Sunday, yesterday?
Mm-mm.
We were down 1-0. It was an own goal. Emery Chan scored an own goal. We were playing Lazio. We were down in the 72nd minute. We got Joao Cancelo came in, scored a goal. So drew us even. And in the 87th minute, we had a counterattack coming from Ronaldo and Bernardeschi. They fouled Joao Coutinho in the box. Ronaldo took the penalty. He had just missed the week before, the game before. He had missed wide right. The goalie blocked it. Goes, puts it right under the bar. So we win ultimately 2-1. But like you said, he starts turning up. He's important when the games matter. At the end of the games, he can be that X factor. I'm hoping he continues to carry that on, because ultimately we're going to need him to, you know, get us through that hump. Yeah. Now, like I was saying, I wouldn't be surprised if it was a 2-0 and then like a 2-1. Like,
Think there's going to be that many goals scored?
I wouldn't be surprised.
But well,
So if this happens, if we go up and let's say we win the first game 2-0, 3-0, I expect them to come back just as hard as we played the first game and the second. There's something about Juventus that they do that. Whenever they have a lead, they don't tend to, they play conservative and they usually give up, you know, they give up goals that way. So I can see that happening. It'll still be by one goal, but I can see if we get off to a fast start, them coming back easily in the second match or even later on in that game.
Yeah, well, so, we'll see.
Schalke, Man City. I think this is a better matchup than most people think.
I don't know. I mean, you just can't deny how good City is.
Of course.
Schalke is good. And, you know, I rated them highly when we first talked about them.
Mm-hmm.
And I had them going through. But they're not beating Manchester City.
No, I don't think so either. I think that they're going to do enough to slow them down.
You know, I just don't even see them scoring a goal here, honestly. I think that Manchester City is going to run over these guys. If they get one, it'll be one goal at home. It'll be at the Etihad, actually, is what I think.
I think they'll get one. I think they get one, no problem. I think they get it off of like a free kick.
But yeah, their defense is not going to be able to compete against what Manchester City's bringing to the table. They're
right.
just not.
Well, I think they got injuries on the defensive side, right?
Yeah, I think their main center back is out.
And company got hurt.
Oh, you're talking about City.
Yeah.
I was talking about Schalke. Has some defensive issues. But yes, City, company's not a major part of City right now.
But
I think City beats Schalke 4-1.
4-1?
Yeah.
And that's the...
I think aggregate, yeah.
Okay.
4-1.
So 4-1, those are pretty bold predictions. Okay, so, you know, those start on the 12th of February, right?
Yes.
That's my spot. Yeah, 12th of February.
12th of February, 6th of March.
Those games are going on. And
then 13th and the 5th.
Yeah, look out for those. We're excited for those games now. Let's get into what has been a tight race almost since the beginning. I think it was Man City and Liverpool. Both started undefeated, right?
For a while, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and then City dropped a point, and then they lost. They dropped 3 points, and then it took, I think, Liverpool another 2 weeks before they got their first loss, right?
Yeah, so, man, it's a tight race, like you say. Sorry, I'm pulling up my table here.
Oh, that's fine.
It's 4 points ahead of City. City drops 3 games. Liverpool drops its one. The win against Liverpool for Manchester City is the reason why the points aren't in a bigger disparity. Because, again, the one loss from Liverpool coming from Manchester City.
Right.
So,
They needed that because imagine being down 7.
Yeah.
Or not even that. That would have been 10.
Yeah, that would have been a lot. They needed that real bad. It's a tight race. I think Liverpool has the legs to take this thing. It's very rare that whoever's leading at the halftime, it's very rare that someone that has the golden boot, guy running for the golden boot with more team points towards their team at the halfway mark of the season loses the title race.
Right.
But Manchester City's a good team. You really can't sleep on them, man. You really can't count them out. But I think everyone else is going to fall to the wayside. I think the real chase here is City and Liverpool. And from what I've seen, City has some more deficiencies playing these mid-table teams than Liverpool does.
Right.
Liverpool added Virgil van Dijk, probably, in my opinion, the best center back in the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
And they added a really good goalkeeper. So those were their two problems last year. They conceded hardly any goals. They conceded more goals against Manchester City than they had in the last like 10 games. So they're defense in the league, the best attack in the league. Liverpool has to take it, in my opinion, but you just can't ignore City.
Yeah, because their differential is 41 goals.
Yeah, 41. 13
goals against.
Yep, 13 goals against.
That's crazy. That's the lowest in the league.
Yeah, by four. Yeah, so Manchester City at 17 goals against.
And then Chelsea's the
Those are the kind of stats that win championships.
Agree.
And those are the kind of things, if you watch the games, you might even get super frustrated because there's a lot of luck balls that fall to Liverpool. Everything good over there?
Oh, yeah. No, we're good.
Okay. If you watch the Everton-Liverpool game, that goal that Liverpool got to push them through was a total, total farce. I mean, Virgil van Dijk whiffing an aerial all the way up to the top of the ball, up box of the goal, and Pickford putting it back into play onto the top of, what's his name? He has Origi's head, of all things. That's the kind of luck you need to win a championship, and that's just the kind of...
Everything
falls your way, that's how you win championships.
Those are the years that you start feeling like the magic might be happening, right?
Yep.
I'm obviously, you know, I'm a supporter of City, so I'm hoping that changes. But you can't deny how good Liverpool has actually been. I know City got the win, like you mentioned, but they have struggled when it comes to some of these mid-table teams. And Liverpool's just, man, that race is going to be so tight because right now the way I look at it is Liverpool's up and I don't see them really dropping a lot of points heading into... you know, the second half of the season, or, you know, the second half of the season dropping a lot of points So if they were to both, let's say, not lose for the rest of the season, Liverpool takes the title. And that's one of those things that is going to be hard to do, but it's not impossible.
Well, the remainder of their schedule is they play, looks like the only speed bumps they might have is United right after the Bayern Munich matchup.
Mm.
That's going to be tough. And yeah, Tottenham in March. Looks like Chelsea in April. That's about it. That's the only thing standing in their way, really. I mean, the matches with City are over. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Chelsea team doesn't look so hot. Tottenham doesn't look crazy hot. United is on a hot streak, and they do play United right after Bayern. That's going to be the one match that I think really tests this run. If they can get their their rest and their stuff together after the Bayern game to prepare for United, I think they've got the title.
Now they play them after the second leg or the first?
They play them after the first leg.
Ah, okay. See, that changes things, because I was thinking if they can get enough of a lead on them.
And that's at Anfield too.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Oh, it is?
Yeah. They have the home field advantage the first game.
Well, that works out for them. And then as far as Tottenham, Chelsea, Arsenal, those are 3, 4, and 5. Well, I guess we'll throw Manchester United in there, 6. Who finishes in the final four?
Yeah, so this is going to be interesting. I think my top four is going to go Liverpool, City. I mean, it's tough. Tottenham isn't looking good at all, but they've got, 5 points up. What is that? 4 points up on Chelsea. Hmm. I'm going to put the top four, Liverpool, City, Tottenham, and Arsenal.
You know what? I would have agreed with you on Arsenal jumping that spot over Chelsea. But like we mentioned earlier in the podcast, I really do believe that Higuain is going to make a difference in Chelsea.
Okay.
And yeah, I think that he's going to be those, because if you look at their goal differential, that's where they're really lacking. They're not scoring a lot of goals. 40 goals for, as opposed to Liverpool has 54 and City who have, 62. Mm-hmm. So they're not getting a lot of goals. They're not allowing that much either. They're not too far away from first and second as far as best defense and or goals allowed.
Right.
But it's the production that's coming up front. They're not scoring a lot of goals. And I think Higuain turns it around. It's hard to say how much he's going to score because I don't know what kind of system they're going to be running, right? What he changes up now that Higuain's in there. But I definitely think he's going to score enough goals to be a difference maker. He's going to spark someone like William, who had, his first 2 goals in like 15 games or something like that.
Yeah.
Something crazy. And and it's going to be a big help to a player like Hazard. I think he's going to be having to work less. And, ultimately that's going to make him, I think, a little bit more fresh, a little bit more focused. And he's going to, he's going to be putting some goals away. So I think the way it is now.
Hazard, by the way, 10 goals and 10 assists so far. He's
really
carrying that team. Jeez. Yeah.
I mean, they're doing their thing, man. They're doing such a good job.
Yeah, it's just, maybe you're right. Maybe Higuain does turn it around for Chelsea. Oh, shoot, man. Tottenham's look so bad. Maybe they do fall down. Who knows?
If it's going to be someone falling, I think it's going to be Tottenham the one that falls. And how many times in the last
But they're going to have their key players fall down, because Harry Kane, second place for the Golden Boot behind Salah, 14 goals.
Yeah.
And then Eriksen, 8 assists. So he's not too far behind Hazard, the league leader at 10. So, I mean, it's going to be a tight race. It'll be interesting. I think that the big battle will be between whether or not Liverpool drop any points for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
And it'll be City's league to lose at that point.
Because obviously, yeah, we're going to be looking at the matchups between what City and Liverpool do from here on out, the
right.
1 and 2 race. But like I was mentioning, I do think that Tottenham, if anyone falls out of that, or out of the four, it's not going to be Chelsea. It will be Tottenham. I don't know if they turn it around enough. I think what Arsenal's doing, especially if they get some of these transfers and they can integrate them to the system that Emery, right? He plays.
Yep.
Then I think they're the ones that can jump that spot. Because like I was saying, in the last 6 years, how many times have we seen Tottenham and Arsenal battle for that fourth spot?
Yeah.
It seemed like for the Wenger's last 4 years, well, the exception of this last year, it felt like every single year it was Tottenham and Arsenal battling for that fourth spot.
That's true.
And so I think we're going to get that again. Maybe if
United's
anyone does drop, it's going to be Tottenham.
Tied with Arsenal right now.
I don't think, yeah, but like you said, it's going to fizzle out, right? And they do lose to PSG. I think you kind of have that same mentality again. Oh, like they lose focus. Right now, they're on one, right? Because like, oh, we're winning. They're on a high horse. You lose focus. They have so much. I wouldn't say mentally unstable, but I don't think that they're as prepared as some of these other veteran teams mentally that they'll keep that focus and say, okay, let's turn around. Let's keep this going. I think that they buy into the loss and they focus a little bit too much on that and they drop a couple more points.
Well, they've got a tough March schedule at PSG, at Arsenal, and against City.
Yeah,
all one down.
I think they drop every single one of those games.
So, well, yeah, we'll see, man. That's going to be a good race. I still don't think it's going to be as entertaining as the La Liga race, but, you know, that's just my opinion.
Opinion or is there a little bias there?
It might be a little biased. I do think it's the best league in the world, though.
It's hard, like I told you, because I feel as though Barcelona dominates, and it's hard for me to watch anything else. Obviously, the Clásicos are ones to always watch, right? But you do have a point with the middle table of the team, middle table teams not being as good as the ones in La Liga, and I mean, even some of the if you take some of those mid, La Liga would probably be the best.
Tell people if you have to face the two best teams in the world twice a year, every year, mm-hmm. you're going to be better than your opposition. That doesn't have to do that.
Yeah. Well. Depends how you face them. If you face them, you're losing 7-8-0, like PSG's blowing out teams in La Liga.
But that doesn't happen in La Liga.
That's what I mean, though. That's the exception.
Barcelona does win, but it's tough. Every time we have to go somewhere else, the San Mames is hard to win at the Estadio. Well, that's not the Vincel, not the Calderon anymore. It's the Wanda Metropolitano is hard to win at. I mean, Sevilla is hard to win at. Real Sociedad's hard to win at. It's La Liga has the biggest home field advantage of any league, mm-hmm. and it's because Barcelona, Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid, Sevilla have to grind these matches out against these teams away from home is why they're so successful in Europe, because going to Old Trafford is no big deal when you have to play at the San Mames twice a year.
Right.
You know, Barcelona and Madrid may run away with the league titles a lot of the time, most of the time.
Well, at least in
but that doesn't
memory.
Make the other teams any worse.
Right.
They're just... Barcelona and Madrid are that good, and that has to make Spanish teams that much better.
I think it is. It's just for most people, when you have a two-legged race like that, no one tends to tune in. Like, no one's tuning in Serie A. Maybe now this year more because of Ronaldo presence, right? But before, I don't think...
Well, Serie A is tough because it's a one-horse race, not even a two-horse race.
Well, so Napoli has done a pretty good job of being there, but to me, I'm a Juventus supporter, and the way I look at it is... You know, it's like a kid. We're like, okay, we'll let you, you know, win for right now. But then at the end, we're going to come back.
Right.
I feel like that's what they do. They put most mm-hmm. of their focus in the Champions League, knowing that they're going to win the Serie A. And they know that somewhere along the lines, you know, that whoever that first place team is is going to drop some points. And then they start focusing more towards the end. They'll say, okay, you know what? We'll put some other talented players instead of just experimenting. We'll put what we know and we'll gain those points back while they're dropping points. And then they ultimately win because they don't blow. They don't win by like crazy numbers, right? They win by 10, 12 points, right? Sometimes even mm-hmm. less. And that's because they focus more on the Champions League and the trophies.
Yeah. I mean, you can make an argument for any league. I mean, apparently even Ligue 1 and the middle, the pack is fun to watch. I just haven't taken the time to watch.
It's, those are hard games, man, because the camera angles are so terrible.
Yeah. And the grass is like really dark there for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah. It's bad.
But, I've been trying to watch a lot of other leagues, and I have been doing an okay job of it, watching a lot of Bundesliga for the first time.
So, how do you like it?
I like it.
I enjoy it too, yeah.
Not a lot of tactical differences that I can tell between the teams. It's all pretty attack-focused league.
I agree.
Ligue 1, I watched Marseille versus Olympique Lyon. That was pretty good. I've watched PSG beat, I don't know how to say the name, Gingkamp.
Oh, 7-0?
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I understand the argument, but I think it's just that, I mean, you just look at the dominance in Europe from the Spanish teams. It's undeniable mm-hmm. how good the league is, even if Barcelona and Real Madrid win the title.
That's what I think speaks more on the league. The fact that Real Madrid and Barcelona continuously win Champions League just goes to show you that there's got to be some kind of competition within the league itself that has them always on their A game when they play, and they're above even whoever it is that they play. They're usually above them, right? That's how it's been for the last couple of years. So if they were really playing like PSG, for example, they look great up until you put them against a contender.
Right.
And then it's like, okay, well, I thought PSG was supposed to beat this person or upset this person. And then they lose, like that year that they were up on Barcelona and they were going to beat them. And then they just completely fell apart in the second leg.
Yeah.
You know, it just goes to show you the difference in preparation.
And it's not all dominance too. I mean, we fell to Roma pretty embarrassingly.
Yeah.
But what is it, six out of the last 10 Champions Leagues went to Spanish teams?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if that's not dominance, I don't know what is.
Yeah. My thing is, you know, it's sad because I'm a Juventus fan. We hold the record for most Champions League appearances without the wins as results. And
that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying when you have to go to the San Mamés, you have to go to the Vicente Calderón, you have to go to these stadiums and win. Going to these other European stadiums doesn't seem like that big of a deal anymore.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And I mean, the only distraction I see is like racism. They don't hear a lot of racism in La Liga, right? So when these teams do travel, you hear a lot of racism when they travel to those countries.
All the European teams have their thing. You ask anyone of Mexican descent that's been to Spain, you'll say that they've experienced racism.
Right.
For sure.
And that's what people don't understand is that even though we've gone through that, right? And the, you know, Emancipation Proclamation and all the civil rights movements and all things like that in Europe, they're still behind when it comes
I mean, what's going on with Koulibaly? They making monkey noises at him,
throwing banana peels at him.
This is in 2018,
and sometimes it's happening in his own stadium.
Yeah,
so
that's crazy.
I've heard it coming from Napoli fans, and that's whenever they lose. It's like so you're in love with the guy, and then you're just carrying bananas, and then if they lose, you're throwing it at him. Yeah. When he was with AC Milan.
So, racism,
they had
unfortunately.
Big signs of a big gorilla with Balotelli's face on it, you know, and that's distracting.
I mean, everyone can do better. The United States does have its problems too. And of course, we can always be better. But yeah, if anyone that's traveled in Europe will tell you just how bad it can be over there. But that's, you know, what are you going to do about it? The only thing we can do is spread awareness and try to make things better. We're in a country here where, yes, there are a lot of problems with it, but as far as blatant outward racism by the mass public is generally frowned upon, right. I would say. And I think that even that's, I'm even walking lighter than I have to be. I would say that overwhelmingly the public isn't outwardly racist.
Right.
Whereas in Italy, at least, it's very much that way. And even in Spain, to a certain extent.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, you know,
especially Britain, they got their own thing going on over there. Like, I don't know what those guys are
doing.
They
got a lot of messes over there. Yeah. It's not just outside of soccer. You know, they got Brexits and you know, their country's been taken over by a lot of refugees and stuff, people coming in. And so that's at least there's a lot of stuff.
I mean,
your
whole league is supported by players from other countries. How can you have the audacity to say that you don't depend on immigration?
That's the tough part is that you look at something one-sided, right? When it benefits you, it's all fine and dandy. You're accepting of everything, right? But then all of a sudden when you go and turn around, like you said, now you're not accepting of immigrants when the majority of your league is made up of so.
And the majority of your league is watched by people that aren't even in the UK.
Yeah.
You got Chinese, love the freaking Premier League. Americans love it.
You got like Norwegians and all those guys, those small country Finnish, like they love the Premier League.
Everyone loves the Premier League. And to just ignore that fan base and just to say, leave our country or whatever it is they're saying.
It's just an ignorant thing.
I mean, I know it's more complicated than that, but
it's really not.
Some of the comments coming from the heads of the Football Association in England have been frankly disgusting.
Well, it just goes to show you that you're supposed to lead by example, right? And if it's at the top, at the very top, that's what's being accepted, then why not? Why isn't a normal fan going to say, okay, well, this is how it's got to be?
Yeah. We can only vote with, you know, our wallets. I always am an advocate for, you know, you should support who you choose to support kind of reflects on yourself.
Right.
And this probably might be too harsh because a lot of people, and you're a City fan yourself, with the politics and stuff that goes behind the transfer policies behind places like PSG and Manchester City makes it, I always tell people, you know, you got to think about who you're supporting because you're supporting a state at that point.
Right.
And they've dodged FFP they pay off people, whoever they need to pay off. They hurt whoever they need to hurt to get past those FFP regulations. And that's just
PSG
the way that the world
perfect
goes.
Example recently.
Well, City has actually spent more than PSG has.
I'm saying in terms of what they should have spent and didn't actually end up spending a dime.
Well, the only reason that the numbers aren't more skewed against Manchester City is because of who they paid off.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's just a whole mess. It's a whole mess. And it's an international mess. And with the racism and the money being thrown around, the bubble's going to burst. I think there's a big, big burst coming. But
right.
Barcelona's pretty safe.
We'll see. So, yeah, tune in to those Champions League games. We'll keep you guys posted. Got to definitely have Buddy on more often. We've talked about it. So you'll be hearing a lot more from him, especially now soccer season starting. Are you joining, by the way?
The men's team.
Yeah,
I don't think I'm going to do
the
co-ed.
Wednesday night either. Yeah. I'm not doing Wednesday night either. I already told him. I said, hey, look, I'm not down with 7-8 players a night. Sorry, but I will do men's.
Yeah. And so, hey, we got to draw our last game, though.
We
and
had
a
what,
sick assist.
Eight or something. I think I played. Was I in goal or was I a defender?
You were in goal.
In goal.
That's yeah, I crossed it to the short bearded guy.
Oh, yeah.
In
Ian.
The box. Yeah, Coach. I crossed it to Ian.
Yeah.
After who's the ginger guy? The really good one?
Ben.
Ben dribbled like half their team, passed to me, across the team.
Yeah, I actually do remember that. Gosh, it's like so long ago. Yeah, isn't it?
I know.
Jeez. No, I'm glad that you're going to be playing. I was going to ask you because when they sent up the chat, I just looked at it today and I was like, who's on there? And I started looking up because I was like,
I should have responded to him.
Well, I brought in Alvaro, right? And so I wanted to make sure that they asked him to play. And then I brought you on. So I wanted to make sure that they asked you to play. And so I was
yeah, I got asked. I've been so busy.
Perfect. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure. But yeah, you know, we're looking forward to it. We're going to be playing a lot more. We'll be talking a lot more soccer. There's a lot of stuff that we need
Ooh,
to talk
we need to
about.
Cover the we need to start covering the NASL now that we have a team.
We do, and so we need to talk about and you know what's funny is we can bring in a couple of players because I played with a couple of those guys. And
okay,
so we can bring them in and talk with them, and
yeah, that'd be great.
I'm gonna be getting more of a setup, so we'll be able to encompass more people. And so I think speaking from local is one of those things that we need to in order to get the hype up. You know, I was looking at season tickets, what they're gonna cost. I'm definitely
it's 120 for the by the goal.
Are you sure? That's not what I saw.
But that was like pre.
Yeah, because right now, I think the cheapest ones were like almost $300.
Oh.
But you're talking about nosebleeds.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
The
and
price
they get,
I was, well,
they get like $1,000 the closer you get to the field.
Okay.
Well, yeah. So that's
should have bought them when they were.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I the minute I heard that they were on sale, which it could have been afterward, I don't know, is when I went and looked at it.
I should have let you know because I know the guy that does his ticket sales. Mm. He works at the International Indoor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What's his name?
He's a big, he's a tall kid with the long hair. He plays a.
Oh
he,
yeah,
he plays on the pink team on outdoors.
Yeah,
good
yeah,
sweetness
yeah, yeah, yeah. God, oh my gosh, I know his name. So he's gonna be mad.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's Jackson, which is Alyssa's nephew. His coach.
Oh, okay.
Quinn.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh. He's a nice guy.
Yeah. Like very nice. Yeah, I like him. So yeah, he was actually modeling some of the attire. And I think he's on the team, right? Or at least has connections to the team in some sort.
No, he's handling more of the marketing side of things.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Quinn's a good dude. I like Quinn. So yeah, look out for that, buddy. Always a pleasure, man. Thank you so
much.
Absolutely.
Thanks
for
having me. And
thank you guys for all the love and support. Go check us out. I'll plug all our social media outlets on. I don't think I've ever done this. Do you want to plug in your social media outlet in case people want to follow you?
I don't have any. So
okay, that's fine.
I'm kind of a hermit. So
okay. Yeah. So just
soccer watching hermit.
Soccer watching hermit?
Yeah.
There you go. All right.
Hey, maybe that should be my Twitter handle.
I why not?
All right.
Why not? So thank you guys again. You guys take care. We'll talk to you guys next time. On behalf of the Culture Punch podcast team, I'd like to thank you for tuning into this episode. Go check us out on social media, Facebook at Culture Punch Podcast, Twitter at @Culture_Punch, Instagram at Culture Punch Podcast. Give us your feedback, your thoughts, what you want to listen to. Give us a follow, a like. We really do appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for